How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another week. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my good buddy Ronald. How's it going that side?
Surprise, surprise, I'm still here.
Unfortunately, like the Bulls, still here, still kicking.
That's no surprise, let's be honest. But let's say the biggest surprise is the Sharks.
Yeah, can you believe it, hey Ronnie? But before we get into the rugby, I did see in the boys group you were a bit festive this weekend and out of the music festival.
Yeah, so the population of this tiny town that I'm in increased 100 fold over the weekend. All the hotels were booked up, and it was chaos. It was the end of winter when the fish, I believe it's the herring, are at their fattest. Then there's some leftovers. They have this Mighty's Fest, which is, yeah, it's quite something.
So is this finally now where we get to the point in our show and you tell us about trying salted fish?
Well, I didn't try it. I wasn't brave enough. I was all talk up until I saw this fish, and I was like, nah, this is not happening.
Yeah, I'm not brave enough with your Super Brew picks either these days, Ronnie, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
I feel like I'm beating you in all of them anyway, but that's besides the point.
So the guys following us on socials would have seen I went to Loftus this weekend, behind enemy lines. Got to see the Bulls take on Edinburgh. But Ronnie, as I always do, have to moan a little bit. I think you've rubbed off on me from the days when we used to live together as students because you've made me grumpy from time to time too. But we now bought really nice tickets for Loftus. We were next to the tunnel, proper seats. By example, these seats are like 3,500 rand for the Springbok game. But now we're sitting there and guess what's assembled right in front of us? A speaker. So you couldn't see it. Any of the game that was happening on the right-hand side of the field, not to mention all the Edinburgh players standing the whole time to watch what was going on. Literally one of the best sold seats in the house, but we couldn't see a damn thing. And then to top it off, both screens on either side of the stadium kept cutting out and only showing the crowd. So you're like, you were pretty
You had
much,
no idea.
yeah.
Oh, well, let's be honest now. The best seats are always a couple rows back, right? Is this not true? We've learned our lesson.
No, it's very, very true. But again, it speaks to the pricing of these tickets. How can you charge that and then block people's views with a speaker? Who is coming up with this nonsense?
No, they should be consulting us. But yeah,
Yeah.
conversation for another day.
You only know if the Bulls are winning based on how much brandy Umfriki's spilling in the stands. You can't see a damn thing. Ronnie,
Yeah, fair.
now for the guys tuning into the show, I'm sure there'll be some tuning in for the first time. As you've seen on our socials, we're doing a bit of a ticket giveaway for the semi-final. So the Sharks will be coming up to Loftus. That's the Bulls hosting them there. It's the semi-final of the URC. And Ronnie, we have two tickets to give away. So
Have you picked the prime seating position for these tickets?
yeah, so I must say, I want these tickets for myself. They're pretty damn solid. They are on the 10-meter line. They are front row seats, but not with a speaker in front of you. I really hope that's not the case. As I'm saying this now, I'm thinking about the speaker, but it's opposite the tunnel, on the 10-meter line, and in the front row. So these are really quality seats that we're giving away here. Two lucky winners will get them. But I thought, guys are entering on the socials. You can check out on Instagram and Facebook how to enter there. But for an additional entry, you guys can head over to our website, pop us an email, and tell us about your first time you ever went to a rugby game with a mate. And that's what this one's all about, the traumas. And Ronnie, do you remember the first game that we went to?
Yeah, we went to a rugby game together before we were even friends.
That's true. One random piss up night at Hatfield Square. We heard that Barney's Army was playing against the Sharks in Durban, John Smith's team. And what did we decide to do there, Ronald?
We decided to risk our exams and fly all the way down to Durban as a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, I think I was studying for family law in the airport because I was writing the next
Yeah.
day or something.
Yeah. And the flight got delayed. We almost didn't make it back.
And yeah, so we went down there, got to see that. I remember that cannon going off in the stadium. That was bloody ridiculous as well. But what a time.
Good times. That's the first and only time I've gone up Moses Mabhida as well that time.
Yeah, we
Interesting.
went up.
Random
I'm pretty
fact.
sure that bridge is like condemned now or something like that, but we did go up there. You're right.
Okay, well, excellent. So what exactly do people have to do to win these tickets?
So they can pop us an email with their first story of going to a game with a mate. And the other way to enter is to tag us in your stories, use the hashtag May Fork Chorn. And yeah, we'll be announcing the winner on Friday live on our Instagram channel. So yeah, guys, if you want two tickets, two pretty damn decent tickets to go and support the Sharks or, you know, possibly the Bulls at Loftus, then yeah, we've got you covered.
Sounds good.
Ronnie, over to the quarterfinals then and some results that were dished up this weekend, starting off on Friday night where the Glasgow Warriors ended the Stormers' reign 36-18. Now, this was a little bit of deja vu for the Stormers because last year, Glasgow finished fourth, Stormers finished fifth. It was the same quarterfinal and the Warriors won and knocked the Stormers out in the quarters there too. What did you think of this one, Ronald?
Yeah, very disappointed in the performance of the Stormers. Expected a bit more of them, expected them to fight a bit, and therewith goes the only chance of having an all-South African URC final. So yeah, well done to Glasgow. I think they put together a very strong performance. But yeah, I'm a little less impressed by Glasgow and a little more disappointed by the Stormers' performance.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that, hey, Ronnie, because the Stormers really felt like they came alive. I think there were five or six wins on the trot going into this one. You know, they'd really picked up ahead of steam. People fancied them, gave them a bit of a chance. I backed them on Superbrew. And unfortunately, it just wasn't to be. They really, really struggled to contain that Glasgow attack. Tui Palotu was punching holes through them at will.
Yeah, and look, a couple of players missing, maybe. Do we say that Damien Willemsen missing that broke the defensive line? I don't know so much. But you're right, Glasgow's attack was on fire. Dubalotto running riot. You know, he's somebody that I think should definitely be starting for the Lions.
Yeah, I think he really proved his worth. I mean, he's been out injured for a long time, comes back, puts on a performance like that. I mean, you can hardly say he's missed a beat after that. I do think, and I agree with you, Ronnie, Damien Willemsen was missed in this game. His maturity at the back, the way he links up with Marnie, we spoke about that a week ago. Yeah, he was a vital cog missing from the Stormers outfit that did duty over in Scotland. But now with the Stormers bowing out, that means two Springbok games he's unavailable for. So likely the Barbarians and the first game against Italy because his ban will carry over that. Ronnie, what happened to the Stormers attack? They've always been a team that we've favored in scoring. And here they went down 5-2. Where did it go wrong? It seemed like the only thing they could do on the day was scrum.
Yeah, look, it's just an inconsistency that we see not only with the Stormers, but with a lot of South African sides. You know, they put together a very strong performance and then it's followed by a couple of substandard performances. I think the Bulls are the only side that I think box above, above par, above average, whatever you want to say, more often than not. But the Stormers are really disappointing. You know, you really want them to put together strong performance now when it's the business end of the tournament. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just, the players aren't cohesive enough. I don't know if it's the young Springbok players that find themselves in that Stormers side and aren't gelling well. I don't know what it is. It's just so disappointing.
Yeah, it really was disappointing to see that, Ronnie. So this is the last time we'll be chatting about the Stormers in this season of the pod. They're unfortunately out of the URC. And like you pointed out, with them dropping out, unfortunately, we can't be guaranteed a South African All final anymore. Actually, it's not possible at all. Ronnie, over to Loftus, where I was, and the Bulls coming out victorious over Edinburgh, 42-33. I was a little bit surprised. Edinburgh started that game off very, very well, and the Bulls looked a bit shell-shocked.
Yeah, look, that's always the case, but I think the Bulls know how to perform over at Loftus. Edinburgh is not a side you walk over quite easily. As you can see, 33 to still score 33 points and lose the game. You know, both sides probably need to have a look at their defensive structures a bit more. But yeah, from an attack perspective, that's a very entertaining game to watch. But well done to the Bulls holding out, scoring 42 points still. It's very impressive to see. And honestly, let's just be honest, the Bulls are the best South African side at this point.
Let's not be honest, that's not true. But Ronnie, coming back from 21-8, I mean, that takes a toll on a team and their energy through the game. But the Bulls now did it. They clawed it back. So they'll take a lot of confidence out of that, I'm sure. Although Jake White and the coaching team surely wishes they weren't mounting these comebacks and rather grabbing the game, you know, by the neck right from the first kickoff. But an interesting stat I saw here. So Seb de Klerk got yellow carded in the second minute for a shoulder charge. Two Edinburgh tries leaked whilst he was off the field. Jay van Heerden gets yellow carded for a string of penalties. Another two tries leaked and a penalty scored. So that discipline in the Bulls game really came to hurt them. And I'm sure that's something Jake's going to be focusing on heavily with the team in the lead up to the semi-final. You just can't be giving away, firstly, player advantage and secondly, points like that in the playoff stages of the competition.
Well, I don't think it's something that Jake's going to focus on. I think it's something that he has focused on. We saw last week, or was it the week before, where he deliberately reduced his team down to 14 players in an attempt to sort of see how the team reacted with the last 15 minutes of the match being a man down. So he deliberately made that decision and he spoke about it openly in the media. So yeah, I think Jake will once again remind his players that look, yellow cards can happen, but you can't let the try slip, which is what's, of course, what's happening here. You've got to play like you've always got 14 or 13 players on the field.
Yeah, I know that's true. You've got to be able to deal with those things when they come. I was having a bit of a chat with your old man, and he pointed out, to win the playoff games, you need an 80% kicker. You need someone that's going to slot these kicks over. And, when you struggle to knock them over, you're not going to make it through the playoff stages. And kicking is going to be a bit of a theme throughout this episode based on what happened in one of the later games. But the Bulls missing Johan Goossen, is that detrimental to their cause, changing the duties between David Creel and Keegan Johannes? As the modern game, there's not supposed to just be one kicker in the side anymore.
No, there's definitely not supposed to be one kicker in the side anymore. But the reality is that South Africa's got a kicker problem, and we've had this for many years. We've always just had one or two players that can kick above average or kick above 80%. Pollard, even he struggles a bit and then he gets to the World Cup where it really matters and steps it up. Yeah, but it's been a while since we've had a Morne Steyn that just, looks at kicking as if it's, an art form. And he's Picasso. So, it is something that I think South Africans need to start looking at. We need to stop producing such no, we should not stop producing such incredible locks and flanks, but we need to start producing better kickers.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one, Ronnie. The kicking is crucial. We've got Andre Pollard at the moment, but you need that dead eye, ice in his veins kicker to win you the big trophy. So hopefully someone's going to step up from the junior ranks in that regard soon. Last comment on this game, Ronnie, was Willie Leroux getting man of the match. He had some great interlinking play there, keeping the outside backs alive and putting them into space. But is this really a good example, I would say, of the old heads, and them being needed in these big games? This is where they come to the fore, where that experience counts. 21-8 down, it's a player like that that really steps up and gets the team moving again.
Absolutely. And we've been very critical of Willie over the years, right? Unfairly so, And then we obviously learned that he had a bit of an injury in the 2019 World Cup. And, when it really matters, Willie just steps up to the plate. He's experienced enough. He's calm under pressure. He makes that final pass before the try scored. And Willie's a fantastic player. And he's a huge loss for the Springboks. And we need our young 15s to really spend time with Willie. Interestingly enough, you said you spoke to my old man, but I too had a conversation on this topic, and I absolutely agree. The youngsters need to be learning from Billy right now, and I don't know if they exactly are. I don't know if they're too cool to listen to learn from the old man, but they absolutely need to because Billy's been there. He's been through, the lowest of lows, and he's got invaluable advice that I think all of our junior 15s need to take heed of.
Absolutely, Ronnie. Over then to Ireland, where Leinster, an Irish side, can you believe it, made it through a quarter final? Leinster coming away 33-21 point victors over Scarlets. This is a bit of a surprise to me. I think I picked Leinster by 48 points on Superbrew. I thought Scarlets were going to be sort of lambs to the slaughter, but a really sloppy affair from Leinster in this one. Did you manage to catch this game, Ronnie?
Now, only the highlights, which is of course a very, very condensed package. But you're right. I think did we say it in last week's episode? We were very in favour of Leinster. It's going to be a huge game, but we also made the comment that look, the Scarlets have everything to play for. If they put it all out there, they can put together a strong performance, and I believe that they did. The Welsh sides have struggled. and to still score 21 points against the top side in the URC, pretty strong Leinster side as well. Now, they can be proud of their performance. It's just disappointing that still they ended up losing the game. But look, it's Leinster. Leinster are the team to beat.
No, absolutely, Ronnie. I think Scarlets can be very proud of themselves and what they pulled off in this game. I think the two yellow cards that they suffered obviously didn't help them either. You know, Leinster missing both Ringrose and Henshaw in this one. But can you really complain when you've got Jordy Barrett there in the center? So, you know, well done to Leinster. Maybe this is what they needed, you know, a game that's tighter, where they don't perform so well, to sort of keep them grounded going into a semi-final. And that potentially spelling a bit of danger for Glasgow. Did you see that cut on Arkia Snyman's head, though? Bleeding everywhere, a couple of stitches, and he's back out on the pitch. Candace made me laugh a bit. She called it some Viking sweat, blood dripping down his face.
Yeah, look, he's a tough bugger, right? And he's not afraid to get physical. And I think by all means, he didn't feel a single one of those stitches. I don't think he needed any anesthetic whatsoever. And he's probably very proud of it too.
No, for sure, Ronnie, for sure. Then the last quarterfinal of the day saw the Sharks hosting Munster down in Durban. This game, 24 all at 80 minutes, 24 all at 100 minutes, comes to a kickoff, and the Sharks win that one 6-4. Yeah, quite crazy to see that. I've never seen a kickoff in rugby before. I'm sure pretty much everyone that listens to the show, as well as you, haven't either.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those rare things that happens, and it's often, I suppose, a little bit disappointing to see when a game is decided by kicking for posts, because, you know, kicking. Yeah, I don't know how else they can do it other than maybe golden goal. But yeah, it's very entertaining. Very surprised by what happened, by what unfolded. And yeah, I feel sorry for Munster.
Yeah, I mean, so first off, Connor Murray comes in, clutch moment just before the 80th to make sure the scores are level, pushing it to extra time. Both teams giving it their everything. I mean, 100 minutes of rugby is no joke at all. Scores remaining the same, then it goes to the kickoff. And yeah, I wasn't exactly sure how it worked. You know, we read the stuff that the URC put up on the screen whilst it was going on, but to actually see it unfold was hectic. And then, I mean, John Plumtree subbing on Bradley Davids with 1 minute left of extra time to make sure they had him available to kick. I hear now that that was JP Peterson's call, telling him, you know, I coached him at the under-20s. Put him on, he's going to do it. And what a call from JP, slotting the winner.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something you actually prepare for. I doubt that any team in sort of first-class rugby ever prepares for a kickoff. And when it comes down to that, it is going to be the decisions of a coach that coached someone at some point and knows that, you know, this person's got a bit of a talent for kicking. And that's going to make the difference. And like you said, it probably looks like it's paid off.
No, absolutely. So having lunch with Opa yesterday, he mentioned, you know, these youngsters, they don't feel pressure in the same way. He didn't really expect to be on the field, came on, that's thrust upon him. You know, it's different pressure for a youngster than an older player. Do you agree with that? Do you think it's a bit easier when you're that age to shrug it off, go for it, have a bit of fun out there and you know, just do what you're naturally gifted to do?
I do. And I think for me, a prime example is Sasha Feinberg, Ngoma Zulu. You know, he's just somebody that takes the ball, takes the gap, plays incredibly good rugby. Then it gets to his head a bit. He maybe makes a poor decision, doesn't tell someone about a potential niggle that he has or some small injury that he has, which turns into a bigger injury. And that sort of plays in with your performance for some months to come. And that's just the reality. These guys are bulletproof. That's the way they see it, and you need a bit of that in the team, I think.
No, for sure, Ronnie. And then I think we need to give a big shout out to Ethan Hooker. You know, we had him on the show previously. What a season that guy's having. Man of the match in this game, been really, really solid out in the wing, naturally a center, but just at home on the wing, it seems. And he's really having a cracker, scoring the opening try for the Sharks, making sure we could claw our way back into that game. So, yeah, big props to you there, Ethan.
Agreed. That first try of his where he just backed himself, backed his pace, you know, a little reminded me of my days of playing rugby. So, yeah, well done to Ethan. I would like to see him being played at centre though a little bit more often because, like you say, he is inherently a centre and it's always uncomfortable when you play these guys out on the wing.
Just to clarify for our listeners, you're talking about when you played rugby on Xbox, right? Not
Yeah, there too. There too, and I used to kick your ass on Xbox.
Yeah, Ronnie. Then Jaden Hendrickson, we're going to chat a little bit about him because, in general gameplay, he really looked to be off the pace. He's really slow kicking, clearing the rucks. His kicking from the base of the ruck also very short, putting a lot of pressure on his forwards. Firstly, what did you think about that? Then we'll move on to the incident at the end of the game.
Well, no, my question to you is, our four top scrum halves in the country, where do you see Jaden ranked in the top four? Because you've got Fuff and Quervis, and who's the scrum half for the Sharks that's injured now? Grant Williams. You've got Krappies as well. We've got a lot of good scrummies. So where does Jaden fit in that mix? Is Jaden somebody who's maybe fallen off the pace, like we've said here? And does he have to claw his way back into the group? Because, like you say, he wasn't on the ball during that game.
Yeah, I mean, has he fallen in the pecking order behind the likes of Amone van den Berg, who was in the Springbok squad? You've also got Imbros Papier playing very, very well for the Bulls. So a lot of competition at nine at the moment. I think you're right. The front three is definitely Kobus, Grant, and Pfaff. But who's filling out those other positions? Who's going to be getting chances in the games like the Barbarians and Georgia and so on? And yeah, Jaden definitely seeming off the pace. Onto the incident at the end of the game then, Ronnie. So obviously the kickoff, Jaden's task of taking the middle kick, the straight on one. He takes his kick, slots it over, and then goes down with a cramp. And him and Crowley sharing some interesting words. What did you make of that and the sportsmanship of the game, Ronnie?
Yeah, look, I think in hindsight now it's been made very clear that yes, he did have a cramp. Russie shared that picture of his calf muscle cramping up. It looked very painful. The winking, I think, given the position, given that the Sharks were ahead by one kick at the time, it is maybe unacceptable, but we see a lot of that in the game, especially from a nine, cheeky nines trying to upset and get in the head of the opposition. Maybe I believe that it was uncalled for, not in the spirit of the game, but I actually think that the worst was the sort of staff, the Shark staff getting in, having words with Crowley as well on the field. Like, that was for me just an unfortunate situation. Would have liked if they attended to Hendricks, maybe a little bit distance off, although I know you can't really move once you have a cramp like that, but yeah, I thought there was just some unfortunate circumstances that made the entire scenario very unfortunate.
Yeah, I think, like you say, it's been pointed out the cramp was authentic. The words probably unnecessary. The coaching staff on the field unnecessary to be reacting like that. Difficult to move him. Ultimately, I don't think it had an outcome on the game because Crowley still got his kick over, but definitely calling in the sportsmanship of the game a little bit. And I do understand the frustration with that for sure.
Absolutely. Look, if it had happened the other way around, we would be up in arms, right?
It's true, but then also to be fair, point out Munster. The last few minutes of extra time, their eighth man's going down with cramp. We're trying to set the scrum, and he's falling over with cramp as well. So, got to give a little bit. The general context, though, and the commentary around it, and the comments between the players and stuff is obviously what's drawn more focus to this than was actually necessary.
Agreed.
So, Ronnie, this then sets us up nicely for two semi-finals, and the first one is between Leinster and Glasgow at the Aviva. What are your predictions for this one?
Look, I hope Glasgow can pull off a miracle here. Or, I say that's actually unfair to Glasgow. It's not a miracle. Glasgow can do it, and I hope that they do, and I'll be supporting them flat out. But look, the bookies will, I'm sure, favour Leinster by a healthy margin. Look, Super Brew the safe bets, like Leinster by 7, Leinster by 8, or something like this. But if you want to call that upset, which I'm going to do, call Glasgow by 2.
Yeah, well, there we go. You heard it straight from the mouth of Ronnie. It would be epic if Glasgow could get a win here. And obviously, if Glasgow do knock Leinster out, the final will be taking place in either of Durban or Pretoria, meaning that every URC final so far has been held in South Africa, which would be pretty epic. Ronnie, over then to
Agreed.
Loftus, 5:15 in the afternoon kickoff, Bulls hosting the Sharks in that one. I, as a truly knowledgeable rugby pundit, I'm going to predict that the Sharks are going to take this one by 3 points. They battled hard and from going 100 minutes in this one. Yeah, I'm backing the boys to take it, and I'm going to be there at Loftus to rub it into the Bulls fans for sure.
Yeah, I think it's just one too far for the Sharks. I think the Sharks put a strong performance together, and then the subsequent performances are subpar. That's just the pattern that has emerged over the years. I'd love to see the Sharks win, but I don't think they're going to be able to. I think for South African rugby, the best bet would be for the Bulls to also win it. But I think the Bulls will take it. It won't be comfortable. Traditional South African derby. They're going to throw everything they have at it. I just hope that whoever wins doesn't come out with too many injuries, as is usually the case with games like this. But yeah, look, I'm going to back the Bulls here. I think that's probably the safe bet.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see on that one, Ronnie. Very little news out of the rugby world at the moment. Maybe that's because we're recording on a Monday night this time and things haven't managed to come out. But Marvin Ori, 2023 World Cup winner, he disappeared straight from the World Cup final, didn't come back to South Africa for the tour, went to link up with his side in France. He's now coming back to the Bulls, adding to the tall timber they already have there in the locking department.
Yeah, good for him. Good for players to come a little bit back to the South African shores. Got some IP there that the boys can rely on. So it's a win for the Bulls, I suppose.
Absolutely. Then, Ronnie, there really is only one May Fokchor moment of the week that we can give here, and it has to go to the young 21-year-old Bradley Davids coming on with a minute left, so 99th minute, literally, onto the field, comes out, snaps the winning kick over to see the Sharks through to the semi-final. And yeah, well done, Bradley. Very keen to see you perform at Loftus this weekend and curious if he's going to get the starting role.
Well done.
That's it for this week on the Rugby Pundit. If you've enjoyed the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, and join us again next week for more rugby insights, banter, and the right amount of cheers. Don't forget to join us on Super Brew 2. We'll see who's got the best rugby predictions and who's just winging it.